Today on Knowing Christ, Pastor Rich Burkle will again share a message from God's Word with the desire that we grow our relationship with Christ. Thanks for joining us, and we hope you'll join us each week for Rich's verse-by-verse teaching of Scripture.
Here, God is giving us a path where we don't have to lose our sight, and our sight is so important to what we really want to do, which is we want to become worshipers. We want to be worshipers of the living God. For this reason, make every effort to invest in your own spiritual growth toward Christ's likeness.
Here's Rich with an introduction for this week's message.
Welcome to Knowing Christ. Today we open up our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. And today we're talking about the spiritual progress that we're making in our spiritual life. So often it's easy for us to stall out or even to move backwards away from zeal for the Lord, from faith in the Lord and obedience to the Lord. And yet God has us on a path. Every day we live, we can make progress. We can take some steps forward. We know it's gradual. We know often it's hard. We know that there's conflict when we make progress. But the Lord is with you. And 2 Peter chapter 1 really encourages us to be diligent. And we can be diligent in faith and we can be diligent in confidence, knowing that we're not in this all by ourselves. It's not just us gutting it out, but the Holy Spirit is with us as we make these efforts of faith to move forward in the gospel in our lives. And so won't you pray as we open up God's word together, Lord, grow me to be more like Jesus today. God will bless you. Let's study his word together.
You know, seeing God, it is such a big deal to our happiness. Without seeing God, we lose all sense of happiness. Seeing God is a central source of the happiness of the Christian, so that regardless of how painful this present world is and how broken it is, and whether it's disease or whether it's conflicts or whether it's just spiritual darkness and the spiritual assaults, when we can see God, we find ourselves contented in our soul. We find ourselves satisfied with life. Even here, even now, we know that more is to come, but even now, this is enough for us because we get to see him. Apostle Paul would go on to say in 2 Corinthians 3, he says, we all, he's talking about every Christian now, this experience of every believer, and if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you know some of this because you've been given some sight. We all with unveiled face behold the glory of the Lord. And notice what he says happens when we behold the glory of the Lord. We're being transformed into the same image, the image of Jesus. From one degree, a little like Jesus, to another degree of glory, more like Jesus, that there's this process of growth. And where does this come from? It comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The Spirit's working in us. And when we discussed this passage a number of months ago, we brought out this principle that Peter brings out here. The more we see, the more we grow. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians 3. As we behold the glory of the Lord, we start growing, become transformed in him. Peter then takes the second phrase, the more we grow, the more we see. That if you lack these qualities, you'll see less and less, but if you have these qualities increasing, you'll see more and more. So the more we see of God's glory, the more we grow to become like Jesus. The more we grow to become like Jesus, the more we're going to see of God's glory. Isn't that wonderful? So Peter ties our spiritual growth to our growth in godliness. Whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind. Jesus ties our spiritual sight to our growth in godliness as well. In Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. God ties again this principle in Hebrews 12, strive for peace with everyone and for holiness. That's practical holiness. It's growth in godliness, growth in Christ's likeness. Because without which, without this peace with our brothers and sisters, and without this practical holiness growing, no one sees the Lord. This is the path. Do you see again how Peter is marking out a path of happiness? Because the ultimate happiness is actually having an experience of knowing God and seeing him, seeing his glory. So let me ask you, how is your spiritual eyesight today? I didn't ask you last year or last 10 years ago because there may have been a time when, man, I was experiencing God and seeing him and saw his love for me and I was growing. I was excited about the Lord in my life and excited about my relationship with him. But man, over time, it seems like I have little smaller and smaller and smaller view and vision of the Lord. Well, that's because you're on this path away from growing in godliness. And what's happening to you is what Peter said was going to happen. You become nearsighted, and perhaps you're so nearsighted that you're blind. And I want you to say, Peter didn't write this in order to condemn you. He writes this to instruct us, encourage us, There's always a path back to sight as we humble ourselves before the Lord. So our vision of God sharpens with our active pursuit of Christ-like life. My son Daniel, when he was in high school, he decided to become a part of the Air Force and go to the United States Air Force Academy. And Daniel had something that no one else in his family had, and that's that he had 20/20 vision. So I don't have that. Kimberly doesn't have that. Older brother doesn't have that. Younger brother doesn't. I don't know where he got it from. But he got 20/20 vision. And isn't it something? I think because God had designed him to be a pilot. And so when he went into the United States Air Force Academy, there was a concern, though, because it's important to have 20/20 vision to be a pilot, that he would lose his 20/20 vision, because many students do when they're at the academy, because it's such intense academic rigor. You read, and as a result of reading, you lose your 20/20 vision. So he didn't want to do that, so he went to our optometrist, Dr. Fitch, and Dr. Fitch said, I can help you with that. And he got him some special glasses. He also gave him a couple exercises. And Daniel was able to read, and still maintain his 20/20 vision. It's important to Daniel because he knew that it was important to his happiness of doing what he wanted to do, which is become a pilot. And I say that because here, God is giving us a path where we don't have to lose our sight. And our sight is so important to what we really want to do, which is we want to become worshipers. We want to be worshipers of the living God. For this reason, make every effort to invest in your own spiritual growth toward Christ-likeness. You're going to see that application 5 times. The third outcome that's happy is we gain assurance that we are part of God's family. Look at verse 10. He says, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and your election. Now, Peter is going to speak of the foundation of our salvation when he says your calling and your election. Peter is stating in brief what the Bible teaches all throughout its pages, beginning with Israel being chosen by God before they were a nation to be a special nation, a nation that he would bless, and a nation through whom he would bless all the nations of the earth. And I want you to think about that for a moment. When did God choose Israel? Well, it's before they were a nation. They weren't even, there was just Abraham and Sarah. That's all there were when God says, I'm going to set my love upon this particular people. I'm going to call them to be my people, and I'm going to elect them to be my people, and I'm going to bless them. And they were blessed not because they chose God, because God first chose them. Now that God chose them then, God calls them to follow him, and then those blessings flow when the people then open their hearts in faith. But this is what Peter is talking about. Now, I know that there's some controversy related to the doctrines of calling and election. So is everybody surprised that this whole issue of election, that some people would have some problems with it? And I won't have time to walk through any long theological explanation or defense of what I believe the Bible teaches. I just want to observe, first begins with Israel, then it continues on with the 12 disciples. The 12 disciples didn't choose Jesus. Jesus went over and chose the 12 disciples. And then Jesus says that's what happens to his church, right? And I want to say that first just to say, can we all agree that the word election is a wonderful word? Amen. Can we say that? Like, even if you don't like what other people teach about election, it's in the Bible, right? So some people, it's like they hate the doctrine of election so much, they read, oh, I wish that wasn't in there. No, it's there, actually. And it's there because the Holy Spirit put it there for a good reason to help us to understand who God is and what he's doing. So can't we all, regardless of what your interpretation is, might be different from mine, can't we all celebrate the word election? And Peter's saying, now, how do we know that what this invisible thing that God did before the world began, before we were created, this calling and election, how do I know that I participate in that? How can I be assured? So God's part is irrevocable, but our experience with God's part, we're trying to figure it out subjectively. Am I truly a child of God? And the Apostle Peter is saying, yes, it's possible to know that. How? By making God's calling, what he did, confirmed in your soul. How? By growing in godliness. It is the number one evidence that we have that we are children of God, because now our hearts and our attitudes of submission to God changes as a result of what God did when he called us to himself and he set his love upon us. And where there is no obedience, a person should rightly say, I'm not sure if God actually elected me. It's not praying a prayer. It's not being baptized. It's not joining a church membership. No, it's God's invisible work, but how do I know whether God has done this invisible work inside of me? How can I have assurance? And I believe assurance is such an important aspect to our happiness as God's people. Now, there are many Christians who are born again, who are forgiven of sins, who are not assured. And I think Peter's talking to those folks. It's possible for you to grow in assurance. That's a subjective thing. There are also many people who are assured, of course I'm part of God's family, of course I'm going to heaven, who are not saved. And Peter's going to talk about those folks later. But here he's talking about people who are born again. Make your calling and your election sure. And it's such a vital part of our happiness. Here's the application. For this very reason, for the sake of being assured, make every effort to invest in your own growth toward Christlikeness, so that you are confident the day you die, you're welcomed into God's presence. And you're confident right now God has set his love upon you and he will never, ever, ever let you go. Are you assured of your salvation? Make every effort to invest in your own spiritual growth. Happy outcome. Fourth happy outcome. We prevent falls. Look at the end of verse 10. For if you practice these qualities, again, if, here's the condition, if you're growing, here's the happy outcome. You will never fall. Now, God's people sometimes fall. They fall into sin. They fall into dark paths. And God's grace flows to every person who humbles themselves before the Lord. So no one sins past the mercy of the Lord. But there is an extreme pain in falling. There's often debilitating damage that flows from falling. Sometimes that damage is so great that the damage won't be completely remedied in this life. That's why falling is so important to avoid. And at any time in our life, we may be growing, 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 but then we stop growing, we level out. Guess what? At that moment, we are susceptible to falls. We're susceptible to falls at the moment we stop making every effort to grow toward Christ's likeness. We see this in Scripture, don't we? We see Moses. You know, think of this guy. There was one day when he became angry and he struck a rock instead of speaking to the rock. And what happened as a result of that fall? Moses, you will not enter the promised land. Think of that. What a sad consequence. A guy who's faithful for almost all of these 40 years, walking through a desert, leading a people. Moses, you can look, but your feet can't touch the ground that you've been longing for and hoping for. I think of David. David, you can't build the temple. So I say this is that falls are big deals. And it's a big deal to say, I want to prevent falls in my life. A fall brings sadness to the person and grief to the community. Sometimes that sadness and grief is so great that the person or the community carry that sadness all the way to their exit from this present world. That doesn't mean there's not blessing. That doesn't mean that God withholds his love. It just means the sorrow of the pain that was brought or the diminishment of Christ that was brought as a result of that. I think 20, 25 years ago, there was a man who came to our church and he had been a worship pastor in another church, amazingly gifted and skilled man, to the point where the whole community would go to the Easter and Christmas celebrations. It was just off the charts in terms of what God was doing through this man, through the ministry of this church that at one time was really large. But in the course of his life, he entered into a homosexual relationship. And then he was overcome by conviction, and he confessed that. He wasn't caught, he confessed it. And he turned away from it. He decided to come to our church for healing and restoration. And for about the next 10 years or more, maybe more, he would come into my office about once every 2 or 3 months, and he'd have tears in his eyes, and he would say, Pastor Rich, because he's older than me, you know, he's about 20 years older than me. And he said, Pastor Rich, is it true that I'm forgiven? Is that really true? Because he knew the depth of the fall. And we'd talk about the gospel, and he'd be lifted up. And he was used after that time to serve the Lord. He continued to serve the Lord down at the mission. But he ended up getting cancer, and I was with him not too shortly before he went to heaven. And the question was still the same. It was a fall. And I say that because we can say, oh, it's a fall, you know, but then there's restoration. No, we lose something in the midst of a fall that's important. And that's why Peter's saying, here's a happy life. Continue growing because it's by growing in Christ's likeness that you won't fall. If you have had the opportunity to care for an elderly parent, you know how bad a fall can be. My own dad tripped over a chair, and about a month later, he passed away from this world as a result of a fall. Exceedingly sad. And so, you know, like, if you have a little toddlers, a fall is like, it's no big deal, right? Like, toddlers fall, they scrape their knee, they might get a bump, they might even need stitches or a broken arm, but still, they're going to be okay. They're going to be okay. But when you have an elderly parent, the falls are really important. And we want to prevent them as much as we can. What is the number one reason why an elderly person falls? Now, again, this is just my guess. I don't have any studies behind this. My guess is it's overconfidence. I don't need a cane. I can climb that ladder. I don't need a walker. I'll be fine in the wind. It's going to be okay. And it's overconfidence. And that's true for believers too. The Apostle Paul warns us. He says, be careful, you who think you stand. Take heed lest you fall. The moment we start thinking, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be strong enough to... No. Let's stay humble. Let's stay growing in Christ's likeness. For this very reason, make every effort to invest in your own growth toward Christ's likeness. For this very reason, for the happiness of your soul, of avoiding a fall that's painful and tragic. I think Peter carried the burden of his fall. At one point in his life, he became overconfident. Now he healed, and God used him, and God grew him. But I think when he looked back on that day, I think he still would wish, I wish I hadn't. I wish I'd have stood. He became overconfident. The last happy outcome that growing in Christ means, we await a glorious entrance. I love this, verse 11. In this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So now Peter takes us to the ultimate happiness where there is no more sadness. And he says, in this way, what does he mean? In the way of growing in godliness, there's going to be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom. Well, I thought entrance into God's heaven was based upon grace alone and not based upon whether we're growing in Christ or not. It is. Here I believe that Peter is stating that some believers experience a more glorious entrance into God's presence than other believers do. It's not so much the security of making it into heaven, it's what kind of entrance we'll receive, richly provided. I believe there's some believers that are going to receive a shout of joy when they enter into that heaven by everybody in heaven, and that others were going to receive God's love and grace, but will enter with less exuberant celebration. I know that some commentators disagree with me on this, so there's that. But I believe this accords with many other scriptures. Here's one, 1 Corinthians 3. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. That's the exuberant entrance. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. Though he himself will be saved, but he'll be saved as only through the fire. Okay, the day of judgment. Still smelling like smoke. There's nothing else, no fruit, no lasting impact that brings glory to God forever and ever. He's saved, but only as through fire. He's saying there's a difference between believer and believer in reference to the experience of entering into heaven. Warren Wiersbe comments, the Greeks use this phrase, richly provided, to describe the welcome given Olympic winners when they returned home. There's fanfare. They don't throw the parades for those who've lost, they throw them for those who have won. And those who win, again, are those who simply humble themselves before God, received his grace, and say, God, I am going to make every effort to do my part to grow in Christ's likeness. One translation reads this way, then our Lord and Savior will give you a glorious welcome into his kingdom that will last forever. Another says, you will receive a lavish reception into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I know there's some, when I've talked about eternal rewards, who say, I don't really care about eternal rewards. That seems kind of selfish. So just making it to heaven will be great. Okay, that's our perspective now. But I do not believe that will be anybody's perspective when you gain the mind of Christ. I think on that day it's going to matter whether there's a glorious entrance and heaven stands up and says, yes, this is the one who glorified God, and we rejoice in his entrance and said, okay, thank God that they're here. Let's wrap our arms around them. There's eternal grace and love, but I wish they would have lived a different kind of life, right? Imagine two young adult sons entering into their prospective homes, and they say, I'm home. And one son enters in the home, I'm home. And everybody looks up, snaps up with a look of shock and surprise, with gladness, and they start jumping up and down, and they run over to him in mass, just jump on top of him, just rolling around, their tears, they're crying, "You're all, we can't believe you're all, it's so great." On the other hand, another son says, "I'm home." And there's kind of like, oh. And then dad stands up and slowly walks over and says, "Son, I'm glad you're home." And brothers, and mom has a couple tears in her eyes, and I'm glad you're home too. It's quiet, it's muted. What's the difference between those two? The one's a war hero who'd been injured, protecting his men in the midst of battle, protecting really the country. They knew he'd been injured. They didn't know he's going to come home. And everybody's talking about how proud they are of this man's life and what he's done for the family and for the nation. The other's returning home from prison. The family didn't know that he was coming home. And they love him. The love's not going to stop. But he brought a lot of pain to a lot of people. Let me ask you, what kind of reception do you want? Like, does it matter? The answer is, of course it matters. You want not even so much for yourself, but because you want the joy in the room for others and for God. You want the joy in the room because we've lived the kind of life that brought glory to God and made every effort to pursue a Christ-like life. Our joy in heaven multiplies through our joyful pursuit of Jesus on the earth. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you. And I think that, and I long for that kind of entrance. Provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now again, there are no merits, just for clarification, no one merits a lavish entrance into God's presence. No one merits that. But the path that leads to a lavish entrance is the path of God's grace in growing toward Christ-likeness. For this very reason, make every effort to invest in your own growth toward Christ-likeness. The picture we paint of happiness, it shapes us. It really does. We can't help but pursue the picture of happiness that we draw in our hearts. So it's really important to have this picture that God paints for us and say, this is the picture of happiness. This is where happiness lies. As I consider the kingdom of God and consider the church of Jesus, the unhappy Christian is not a rare bird. The unhappy Christian is not a rare bird. And it should be. It could be a rare bird. I want you to know that it's possible that if you're a crow, you can become a songbird. You really can. If you're grumpy and complaining, if you're like, I'm not happy with life, not fulfilled, you can actually become a songbird. And here's the path. Start growing in Christ-likeness and watch what God does and grab hold of each of these happy outcomes that flow from a life lived by God's grace for God's glory.
Rich will have some closing thoughts about today's message in a moment. Would you tell others about Knowing Christ Radio? We love to have new listeners join us as we try to know Christ more and more each week. Here's Rich.
Well, thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. Our desire at Knowing Christ is to help you grow to know the Lord Jesus Christ more and more, and also to grow to become like Jesus more and more. You know, our passage today urges us to be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and your election. Be all the more diligent. And we want to encourage you in your diligence of serving the Lord. You're in a war, you're in a fight, and it's a fight for your soul. It's a fight for the souls of people around you. It's a serious fight. It's the most important battle of your life. We want to encourage you by offering you a free resource from Knowing Christ. It's a book that's really helped me and my thoughts about making every effort to make my calling and election sure. It's by a pastor who's in heaven now, J.C. Ryle. It's a book called Holiness. If you think this book would be an encouragement to you, please connect with us. We'd love to send it to you. And we pray that you are making your calling, your election sure. You're being diligent in that because that's what life's about. May God give you strength today.
Here at Knowing Christ, we're so thankful for our listeners. The comments we receive are such an encouragement to us as we hear how God is at work through this ministry. Would you spread the word? Invite a friend to tune in on this station to hear Knowing Christ each week. And check out our website where you can send us a note or listen to these messages again. Thanks for listening. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.